Father, we come before you and we thank you again for this opportunity that you've given us to gather in your name, Lord. Father, we get to do something right now that we're going to spend all eternity doing. It's just unbelievable. On this side of heaven, in this flesh, we get this opportunity, Lord. You know, and as Kevin brought out, Jesus is our Savior, but he's also our Lord. And by calling him our Lord, we've given everything, including ourselves, to him. He owns it all. It's all his. He's just entrusted it to us. And so, Father, I pray in this reference to Patrick's chapter 20 on convergence, Father, as you showed me these verses, this scripture, I ask for your anointing on it, Lord. We just love you and we thank you, Father. Go before us now. Speak to us. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to take this out of Matthew 16, verses 1 to 4. And I titled it, Knowing the Times and Acting on Them. Knowing the Times and Acting on Them. In verse 1, it says, Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and testing Jesus, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. Jesus answered and said to them, When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now the Pharisees and Sadducees came to test Jesus by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. Now this is interesting. The Pharisees and Sadducees held different views and were actually rivals in Israel's leadership. The Pharisees' name means separated. They were separated by strict observance of the law and traditions of Israel. They were considered very, very spiritual. But even though their zeal for the law brought them into legalism, which Jesus condemned, they did believe in all the right things. First, they believed in a supernatural written revelation from God. Second, they believed in the Old Testament. Third, they believed in miracles. Fifth, they believed in the coming of the Messiah. They also believed in the resurrection and a final judgment at the end of time. Now, on the other hand, the Sadducees were modernists. They didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. But they looked for a Messiah. The Messiah they were looking for would be a political leader. Well, you know what? If they're around today, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, that's the man they'd be looking for. In looking at their background, they were politicians. Their policy was to work with and support whatever government was in power at the time. Now, it is believed they were representing the Sanhedrin, which was made up of both groups. It was the religious council for the Jewish people in Judaism, the Sanhedrin. And this was probably an official delegation. Now in verses 2 to 4, these last words are significant with meaning. Jesus' reference to these leaders being able to predict changes in the weather. Now I see the failure of the Pharisees and Sadducees to perceive the signs of the times. But let's be real here. The reason why they weren't able to understand is because they wouldn't understand. That's exactly why people aren't able to believe in Jesus today. Let me simplify this for you. They don't want to believe in him. What's even more troubling is what the disciples were thinking. There's a title of a movie, and I'm wondering if you who are listening will guess what the title of that movie is by what I'm about to say. The Pharisees were spiritually dumb. But the disciples were even dumber. You guessed it, dumb and dumber. I mean, the Lord's own disciples were dumber because they had every reason to understand what Jesus had been telling and teaching them all along. In our account of what was happening, after leaving Israel's unbelieving leaders, Jesus goes back across the Sea of Galilee and he takes his disciples with him. He later went to Caesarea Philippi, and it will be the last time before his final return to Jerusalem, where he will be crucified. Now, this was heavy on Jesus' heart. He was pondering the unbelief and hostility of the religious leaders. They should have believed in him, but they didn't want to. They weren't acting on what he was trying to tell them. The thing that made it worse, they were keeping others from believing. The reason we know this is Jesus made mention of it with a warning for the disciples. In verse 6, Jesus was warning them about the dangers of legalism that characterized the Pharisees. He was warning them of the dangers of modernism that characterized the Sadducees. When you get to Mark's gospel, we're told only that Jesus sighed at the unbelief of the Pharisees and Sadducees. But I think he must have sighed even more as he realized the level on which the disciples were still thinking. Here's the key to their problem. And you know what? We fall into this ourselves. They were thinking about food. They failed to trust Jesus for it. They weren't acting on what they were hearing. But they also failed to understand what Jesus was saying about the religious teachers. You see, if the disciples understood his warning about the Pharisees' teaching, they would have understood what was wrong with their teaching. Jesus is saying, you get the physical signs of life, but what about the spiritual? What about the spiritual? Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for their holding on the traditions of men rather than holding on to God's written word. They should have been acting on God's word. They saw the times. They saw what was going on. But they weren't acting on them. They were adding human legalisms to God's revelation. That's why they were unable to accept Jesus when he came as the Jews' Messiah. He came with a gospel of grace. They were under the impression they had to earn their salvation by legalistic things like keeping the Sabbath, things like observing kosher meals. That's why Jesus said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are rules taught by men. It was all a religious trip to them. They didn't care about the genuine relationship with God. Well, nothing's changed today. People care more about their lives here on earth and what they have going on more than what God may have for them. And yet, all this life is going to perish, and it won't be anymore. The Sadducees, on the other hand, they didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe in the Bible's worldly outlook. Neither did they believe in a resurrection of believers. All they really had to live for was the success and prosperity they could have while they were alive. That's what life was all about to them. That's where the bulk of humanity is today. Living for the here and now and not wanting to know about tomorrow or of spiritual things concerning their eternity. So Jesus is warning you and me, as well as the disciples, saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The only gospel that will do us any good is the gospel of justification by grace alone, because of Christ alone, and we receive it by faith alone. Nothing else can be added to these elements. Jesus faulted the Pharisees because they weren't able to discern or interpret the signs of the times. So, what does it mean for someone to understand the times? What does that mean? Well, it's not a matter of understanding world events, of politics, or economics. It's a spiritual matter. First, Galatians 1:4 says, Jesus died to rescue us from this present evil age. I mean, we're never going to make any progress in wisdom unless we begin by realizing that this world, with all its cultural ways, is hostile to God and against any desires for godliness on the part of God's people. John 15, verses 18 and 19. Secondly, 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You see, even though this is an evil age, it's also an age where God has acted in Christ to accomplish our salvation. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. Thirdly, Luke 19 describes the times we're living in. When Jesus approached Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, we're told he began to weep. Luke 19, verse 43 to 44. The people had been given time to repent of their sins. They'd been given the time to turn to him and be saved. But they refused to do it. They refused to act on it. As a result, the time of their opportunity was drawn to an end. Fourth and lastly, 1 Corinthians 7:29 says, the time is short. Now we know we've been living in the time of God's grace. That's what the 2,000 year of the church is. It's an age of grace. We know that we've been in the last days since Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell and founded the church. We've been in the last days. What put us in the latter of the last days? The generation, Matthew 24, that would witness everything, including Christ coming for us at the rapture of the church. That started May 14th, 1948, when the Jews came back into their land. Now we're that generation that is going to hear that trumpet shortly, and we're going to go to be with Christ. We know it's been a time to repent. We know it's been a time to turn to Christ. We know it's been a time to serve Him. But the bottom line is, it's not going to last forever. I mean, we could be talking days, weeks, months, maybe even some years, but there's not many left. Just as Jesus warned the people of his days, a few years later, they lost their opportunity. Today, we're in the same position just before his return. The day of God's grace will be followed by the day of God's judgment. When that happens, the opportunity to believe in Jesus will be gone. It will be lost forever, for all eternity. That's why I titled this study, Knowing the Times and Acting on Them. Acting on Them. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us to have this teaching out of your word, Lord. I thank you for the reference to chapter 20 that you've led me in this teaching, Lord. You're an awesome God, and you get all the glory and the credit that's due your holy name. I pray for all those that will be listening in, that you would speak to them mightily, Lord, and God, that they would act on the spiritual precedent that's been set here. We need to know the times. We need to understand the times. Because our world is shaking right now. The stage is being set for Christ to come for his bride, and then God will deal with his chosen people, the Jewish people again, in a place called the time of Jacob's trouble. We know it as a 7-year great tribulation period when all hell and wrath breaks loose. Never has before, never will again. It's going to be that horrific. And we want to thank you, Father, that we know the times, that we are acting on them, knowing that you're going to come soon. Go before us, Father. Bless the rest of our day and week. In Jesus' name, amen.